continue on the subject, the road church. We've looked at several roads these past few nights. Again, our basic scripture in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 13, the Lord speaks. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The Lord is telling us there that we're traveling on a road, either the broad road that leads to destruction, or the narrow road that leads to heaven and home. The moment we're born into this scene, we are placed on that broad road, going further and further away from God. But we can make a change of direction. At Calvary's intersection, we can make that U-turn from the broad road to the narrow road. The first meeting we looked at, the road to deliverance. In Isaiah chapter 55, there we read, "Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will abundantly pardon." The road to deliverance. Then we looked over at the Acts of the Apostles. In Acts chapter 8, the man from Ethiopia traveling, and his was the road to discovery. He discovered the beauty of the living word and the accuracy of the written word. Philip began at the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. The road to discovery. Then we looked at chapter 9 of the Acts of the Apostles, the road to devotion. Saul of Tarsus breathing out threatenings and slaughterings against the people of God, arrested by the Lord Jesus. "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord?" "I am Jesus. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" The road to devotion. The Lord says, "Go, go." The road to devotion. Then we looked at Luke chapter 10, the road to devastation. The man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho fell among thieves, and the Lord Jesus came and lifted him up, put him on his own beast, and brought him to the inn. Last night we looked at the road to degradation. The prodigal son out into the far country sowing his wild oats, and suddenly he says, "I will arise and go to my father, and will say, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son." His dear old father ran down that hill, kissed his boy. He would never forget that kiss. There's an assembly up in Glen Head, Long Island, and once a month they go down to the Jerry McCauley Mission in New York City. I've gone there many times over the years to the Jerry McCauley Mission. The superintendent told me that many, many years back, a gentleman told him that Fanny Crosby, the great Fanny Crosby, once went to the Jerry McCauley Mission. She was introduced to the men who were derelicts of society, out of the street, to come in and get a meal. She said to the superintendent, "Are there any boys here?" She said, "Yes, one boy has just come in off the street." She talked to the boy, she hugged the boy, and she kissed him. She went back to Bridgeport, Connecticut, and wrote the hymn, "Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave, weep o'er the erring ones, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save." Years later, D.L. Moody and Sankey were having a gospel crusade down the Mississippi. And just before Sankey sang, D.L. Moody told the origin of the hymn, that he was about to sing. Fanny Crosby, the boy, and the kiss. When the meeting was over, this tall, distinguished gentleman came down the aisle, well-groomed, very successful businessman, weeping. And he turned to D.L. Moody. He says, "I was the boy that Fanny Crosby kissed. And that led to a greater kiss. The father, for me, a prodigal." Wonderful to return to the father. Tonight we want to look with you at the road to destruction. The road to destruction. Come with me, please, to the Gospel according to Luke. Luke's Gospel. Chapter 16. And reading verse 19. "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses, the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. A second scripture in the book of the Revelation, chapter 20. Revelation 20 and verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them. And notice, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." God will bless the reading of his precious word. The most precious subject of all for a preacher of the gospel is to speak about the love of God. It touches the heart. What shall we say of this solemn, solemn subject? The road to destruction. It fills their eyes with tears. I'm convinced the Lord Jesus, who spoke more about hell than he ever spoke about heaven. Never spoke of hell without tears coursing down his cheeks. He knew the solemnity, the gravity of it all. Remember when he was up there in Jerusalem, looking over the city, and on that lovely face there came down the tears. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would have gathered thee as a hen that gathered her brood under her wing, but ye would not. Here are two men in Luke 16. This man called Lazarus, at the gate of the rich man, hungry. Dogs came and licked his sores, and he died, and he was on the narrow road. He went right to paradise. He was on the narrow road. But this other man, the rich man, was on the broad road. And that tells us distinctly that the termini of life is either heaven or hell. In our local newspaper the other day, church casts out hellish idea of hell. The Council of the Church of England, and this is what they said: hell is not eternal torment, but it is final and irrevocable choosing of that which is opposed to God so completely and so absolutely that the only end is total non-being. The Council of the Church of England. That is a lie from the pit. There's a heaven to give, and there's a hell to shun. He is this poor man, Lazarus. The moment he died traveling on the narrow road, he got a special angelic escort. And I believe every child of God on the narrow road, when they leave the sea, get a special angelic escort. Elijah winged his way upward. The chariots of Israel, the horsemen thereof, and he went up. There was Moses buried at Mount Moab, and there he was in the land with the Lord Jesus. Up. But the rich man, he went down. The problem with theologians today is they do not read and study the Word of God. This is a clear picture, and this is the language of the Lord Jesus, and we must pay particular heed to what he has to say. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Friend, it's the place of unabated pain. The person on the narrow road, when they leave the scene, they get a new body, conformed body, soul and spirit, like unto the Lord Jesus. The place of unabated pain. It's forever. Ever. I am tormented. The man that goes up on the narrow road is blessing, joy, forever and ever. Unabated pain. No medical relief. No hospitals. No doctors. Unabated pain. What a tragedy. Secondly, the place of unparalleled loneliness. Unparalleled loneliness. Total isolation. Have you ever been lonely? I'm sure you have. Three times in my lifetime I remember the pangs of loneliness. World War II, my ship was torpedoed in the Atlantic Ocean. 2 hours in the Atlantic with a life jacket and a light going. And I felt the loneliness. God in his kindness sent along HMS Lukoski, and I was rescued. Loneliness. Another occasion down in Manawar Key in the Bahamas, I suffered a massive heart attack in a little shack that was for the workers. I thought my chest would explode. My wife back in Massachusetts, no telephone. I felt the loneliness. But there was always someone round the corner. Carpenter picked me up. And from there to the hospital. And then a few years ago, facing complicated heart surgery in the Mass General Hospital in Boston, my colleague Boyd Nicholson and his wife Bernice, my wife, my two children, the grandchildren, had just left to go to the elevator. And I felt the loneliness. Then I got a phone call. This gentleman says, "Well, Brother Neil, if you don't make it, we'll meet up there." Well, that's great theology. And it's absolutely true. But when you're leaving your wife and your children and the work that you love, it's a different story. And I went in, opened up my Bible. My eye rested on Psalm 118. "Thou shalt not die but live." Thou was chasing me so, but this is not unto death. But what will it be, my friend, to be isolated forever? Not a week, a year, but forever. It blows the mind. But this again is the picture given by the Lord Jesus. Whereas the men like Lazarus and the women that go up on the narrow road, they have the royal fellowship with God's people from every kindred, tongue, people and nation, singing the songs of Zion and praising our beloved Savior. The place of unparalleled loneliness. Oh, that men and women would read the Word of God. It's an awful thing to be lonely in life. Went to visit a dear widow down in the Bahamas. She says, "I'm lonely, Brother Neil, but I'm not alone. The Lord is with me." Down there in the caverns of the lost, total isolation. I met a man the other day there. "Oh," he says, "if I go to hell, I'll have lots of company." I said, "My friend, you want to read God's word. I am tormented in this flame." Just as God tempered the bodies of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace by Nebuchadnezzar, not one hair of their head was singed. He tempered the body, and he'll temper the body of the ungodly in that flame forever. The place of unabated pain, the place of unparalleled loneliness. Notice, it was the place of the undetached memory. The undetached memory. Abraham said, "Son, remember." And that will add to the confusion of the ungodly. Somehow, someway, they will see the believers. They will see those who are on the narrow road and have gone home to heaven. Somehow, someway. Again, the proof is in this book. The Lord says, "When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in, yourself cast out, weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth forever and ever. Son, remember." They will remember that every gospel paper they ever read. They will remember that every message that they ever heard. They will remember the prayers of their father and their mother. They will remember the place of the undetached memory. Son, remember. What a tragic situation to remember pleading fathers, praying mothers, and die in their sins. And it's a place of the unbridgeable chasm. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fix.
so that they would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. The place of the unabated pain, the place of unparalleled loneliness, the place of the undetached memory, but it's the place of the unbridgeable chasm. It's unfathomable, it is unalterable, it is unbridgeable. So once they go down into that awful place, there's no way out. It is for all eternity. And he begins to pray. He prayed in the wrong place, and he prayed to the wrong man. I believe, my friend, there are more prayer meetings going on tonight in hell than ever on the planet Earth. It is too late. He prayed to Father Abraham. If he had prayed to the Lord Jesus, if he had prayed to the Father on the planet Earth like Lazarus, it would have been glory, glory, glory. But Abraham could not do anything toward the alleviation of his suffering, the place of unanswered prayer. The man said, I have lots of company in hell to me. And I reminded him that here, this man in a lost eternity did not want his brethren to come. Warn my brothers not to come to this awful place. But then the challenge was, if they don't hear Moses and the prophets, they will not repent, even though someone came from the dead. Neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. The place of destruction. For Lazarus, it was the place of delight. Just to see face to face the wonderful man of Calvary who shed his blood upon the cross in order that his destiny would be heaven and home for all eternity. Revelation 20. We read the road to destruction and the final phase. Luke 16, my friend, is a preliminary condition, and it won't be the ultimate till everyone that rejects the Lord Jesus stands at the great white throne. If that's the preliminary, what will the final be? John says, and I saw a great white throne. John the fisherman, the penman of the Revelation, got a threefold vision. He saw the Lord Jesus working in grace, chapter 1 through 4. He saw the Lord Jesus working in government from 5 right through here to chapter 20. Grace, government, and in chapter 21, he got a vision of glory. What a book. Written by a fisherman, by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I saw. This is not something fictitious. This is not something nebulous. This is something that John saw. God drew aside the curtain to give him a preview of the final assize. I saw a great white throne. Why was it great? Because the man that sat upon it is the Lord Jesus. There won't be 9 people on God's Supreme Court. One man. God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, the man Christ Jesus. Great because of the man that sits there was the man that hung upon the cross. A great white throne. It will be a perfect judgment. Great because of the duration of the sentence. In the judicial system day, few days, few months, few years, a lifetime. But the sentence passed by this judge is forever. Great because of the man that sits there. Great because of the duration of the sentence. And it's great because of the number that are brought to it. The dead, small and great, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away. The face. Oh, we see that face, beloved, when he traveled this earth. He steadfastly set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. They spat on that face. They punched that face. These Roman soldiers. The face of the Lord Jesus in submission to go to the cross. But here is his face in judgment. When Lazarus winged his way home to glory, he would see that wonderful face. The bride in the Song of Solomon, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice and thy countenance. Come. Oh, no wonder the song writer wrote, O glorious face of beauty, O gentle touch of care, if here it is so blessed, what will it be up there? We'll recognize him. The all together lovely one. We shall know him by the print of the nails in his hands. An old Christian lady up in Toronto in the hospital. A religious cleric was going through visiting his parishioners, and he got the wrong number of the room. And he goes in to see this old girl. She exchanged greetings with him, and she said, Sir, what is your function? He said, I've come to give you absolution. She says, what in the world is absolution? I've come to forgive you of your sins. She says, Sir, let me see your hand. You are an imposter. The man that forgave me of my sins has a print of the nails in his hand. The face in submission. The face in glorification. He is a face in judgment. From whose face? One look from the face of the Lord Jesus, and this whole system will disintegrate. From whose face the heaven, the earth and the heaven fled away. He brought this world into being by a word. Oh, scientists are baffled today because they don't read the word of God. I was just saying the other day, there are two scientists out there in Denmark said that the men have 2 billion more brain cells than women. 2 billion more brain cells than women, but they qualify the statement, but they don't know how to use it. Scientists. The Lord Jesus came, brought this world into being by a word. He spake and it was done. He commanded and things stood fast. One word from our blessed Creator, and this world received its formation. And the scriptures, and he made the stars also. as if it was very, very trivial, and he made the stars also. They do not read the word of God. But here, he will remove it by a look. One look, and the whole system will disintegrate. And John said, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. In other words, this rich man and those who have gone down to hell will come out and get their old body back with its cancer, with its AIDS, with all its sickness. They'll get their old body back. That's what it says. The dead, small and great, shall stand before him, and the books are opened. Our God is a meticulous bookkeeper, and every sin that you ever committed is being recorded. But the moment we come to Calvary's intersection, we accept the Lord Jesus as a personal Savior, the record is wiped clean. Every sin, thy sins and thy iniquities will I remember no more. If someone does something unsavory to you, I trust you forgive them, but you never forget. But our God has the capacity, the ability to forgive and to forget. But those that reject him, their every sin will be recorded. The books were opened. And as if for further corroboration, another book is opened, which is the book of life. What is your name? John Doe. Not here. Because the moment we trust the Lord Jesus, names, our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And everyone was judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. There are degrees of glory for the Christian. Those who are faithful will get these crowns mentioned in the scripture at least 7. Degrees of glory. But there's also degrees of punishment in hell. We find in chapter 20, the previous verse, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. He's at the bottom of the pit. And what a day that will be for God's people when we see that old devil who's caused so many problems cast into the lake of fire. And the sea gave up its dead. Many of my shipmates were lost in World War II. Down in the engine room had a very special friend, the commander in the Navy. Lovely gentleman. Mother a Christian. As far as I know, he was not saved. Killed. Hit by the torpedo. The sea will give up its dead. And your British admiral that had his body cremated, half the ashes put in the Pacific and half in the Atlantic, if he thought he would defy the resurrection power of the Lord, then he's sadly mistaken. He will bring particle to particle, atom to atom, and they'll stand before that righteous judge. And the sea gave up its dead. And notice these words. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. So we see Luke 16 is a preliminary condition. The final phase will not come until they've stood in that old body before God's judge. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they would judge every man, no escape, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Notice, this is the second death. There's physical death. There is spiritual death. But this is eternal death. And death is separation. And they will be separated from God forever. Oh, that men and women, and that is the lie of the devil, to say that it is annihilation at the end of life, just like a dog, annihilation. That is what Satan is propagating today, and religious systems are embracing it. My friend, read God's word and flee from the wrath to come. Young or old, we're facing eternity. Maybe tonight the end will come and God's people will rapture home to glory on the narrow road to reach that celestial city. And here again is one of those great whosoevers, as I close, and whosoever was now not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let me ask you a question. Is your name written down in heaven? Pointed a lovely young lady to the Lord in Victoria, British Columbia. I might have mentioned it the other night. And broken down under the gospel. She asked the Lord to forgive her of her sins. Give me this everlasting life. And put my name in your book. And I'm looking forward to seeing my little sister again. She had died as a child. I tell you, friend, that the end of the narrow road is nothing but blessing. But I'd appeal to everyone, young and old, tonight, if you're not saved, get saved before you leave this building. We can help you. The Lord Jesus is available. The Word of God is accurate from beginning to end. And you can be assured of God's salvation. And if the Lord comes tonight, you'll go home to glory with all those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb. May it be so, for his name's sake shall we pray. Our Father, we think of this solemn subject, the road to destruction. Oh, Father, we thank thee for a merciful God that has made provision whereby we can escape the judgment of hell for all eternity. Father, take care of thy word. We thank thee for all who have come tonight, young and old. We think of the young folks, we thank thee for having them with us. But, oh, our Father, we're living in a wicked world. We pray that they'll find the Lord Jesus as a personal Savior and be able to go on rejoicing in the things of the Lord. Give journey mercies to our friends as they leave the building. And again, we thank thee for all thy kindness. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Shall we sing in closing? Hymn number 230. Out of Christ without a Saviour, oh, can it be like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea, and so on. 230, and the meeting will be over. Out of Christ without a Saviour, oh, can it be like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea? Oh, to be without a Saviour, with no hope or refuge nigh. Can it be, O blessed Saviour, one without thee dares to die? Out of Christ without a Saviour, lonely and dark the way, with no light, no hope in Jesus, making bright the cheerless day. Oh, to be without a Saviour, with no hope nor refuge nigh. Can it be, O blessed Saviour, one without thee dares to die? Out of Christ without a Saviour, no help or refuge nigh. How can you, my friend and brother, dare to live or dare to die? Oh, to be without a Saviour, with
no hope or refuge nigh. Can it be, O blessed Savior, one without thee dares to die? Out of Christ, without a Savior, dark will the voyage be. Clouds will gather, storms surround you, oh, to Christ for refuge flee. Oh, to be without a Savior, with no hope or refuge nigh. Can it be, O blessed Savior, one without thee dares to die? Out of Christ without a Savior, trust Him with all your heart. Ere the door of mercy closes and you hear His word, depart. Oh, to be without a Savior, with no hope or refuge nigh. Can it be, O blessed Savior, one without thee dares to die?
Thank you.